Welcome to National MI's Educational Sales Podcast Series, hosted by mortgage sales consultants Pat Sherlock and Bobby Welch. This podcast is brought to you by National MI University. We are committed to delivering quality education. Now let's get started.
Hi, everyone. This is Pat Sherlock.
Hey, and it's Bobby Welch. Hey, Pat.
Hey, Bobby, this is an exciting topic, as I mentioned to you before, because I see a lot of misunderstanding. So today we're going to talk about the problem with relationship marketing and how to overcome it. And I think it's so apropos. So I'm very excited to talk about it. So why don't you kind of share some of your thoughts of what you see? And then I certainly want to jump in with what I see when it comes to marketing.
Yeah, you know, I started talking about this a couple years ago after seeing people really not understand that there's different types of selling and that they all have their place, and that the selling that's happening inside, especially the mortgage industry, leans very, very heavily to relationship-based marketing, which is great, by the way. I'm a huge fan. It's just there's some problems that are going to show up in your business if you rely only on that. Mm-hmm. And so after I kind of realized the shortcoming and really what happened, and I mean, let's just cut to the chase. The problem with relationship marketing is that it takes so darn long that if that's the only bullet that you've got to go out there and, you know, do a little bit of hunting with, it's just going to take you a long time to score what you're trying to score. So you have to bring other things to bear to offset the shortcomings of relationship marketing, if that makes sense. And then when you do that, then the long-term goal is the relationship marketing, but short-term you're eating.
Which is a good point. Well, why don't you talk about, because I do think there's a lot within mortgage banking that is the discussion about developing a relationship. And I think you're exactly right that strategy is really probably a 6 to 12 month strategy unless you have supplemented it with something else.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you know what? Why don't we create the three buckets and then we can talk about each bucket. So here's the three zones and then we'll break down each one. Your marketing is typically, and your selling is typically hanging out in what I would call the relationship marketing bucket. So that's the long-term game, like I said before.
Sure.
That's the prize. This is where you absolutely must and need to get to for longevity in this business. It overcomes price objections. It overcomes, you know, small hiccups in service, because let's face it, it's a mortgage business. Even the best run teams will hit small hiccups. So it can overcome the challenges that we see every day. And then it creates the staying power. It's how you move from doing just 2 to 3 loans a month to doing 15, 20 or more loans a month, because those relationships, you know, they're like assets. You build them up and then they perform well over time. So you've got to be heading in that direction. And they've got all those pros that we just talked about. But then, of course, the giant glaring gorilla in the room that nobody likes to talk about, and the reason why so many loan officers often wash out of this business because they just can't hang in there long enough, is that it just takes a long time when done properly. So you've got to be looking at two other buckets. Now, the one that I see people do often, but they often rely too much on, is what I call transactional marketing. Mm-hmm. So that's short hit marketing. So maybe I run a special. Let's say, and let's do some wholesale and retail examples. Maybe I'm in a wholesale, and so I run a special today on anything above a 680 FICO score, and I pull in all that 680. Well, you can train your customers just to rely on you for your specials.
Right.
They may wait for the specials, or they even start to see you as the above 680 guy, maybe. Worst case scenario, I've seen stuff like this, but nothing below. So you have to be really careful, because transactional marketing is like sugar. So you take it, it's a quick hit, but then there's a crash, you know. So it's almost the exact opposite of relationship marketing if you were to put this on a spectrum, because very effective short term, very poor long term. Other examples of transactional marketing might be, you know, for the next 90 days during the spring quarter, all appraisals are free. Or transactional marketing, you know, I beat any price in the street. That's a transactional thing. Or maybe you run out and you get known on one specific product. You know, so hey, if you are doing an investor loan, a single type of transaction, come see me.
Right.
And so faster traction, but, you know, kind of quick to hit, quick to dissolve, and a little bit harder long term. Even the guys, I had somebody argue with me a while ago that, hey, you know, my niche is not transactional marketing because I have developed relationships with these real estate agents, and I do have relationships. But I asked her, so let's say the investor you're selling all these changes their appetite on the risk. Like, how many of those realtors are giving you loans outside that?
Right.
You know, what's the longevity of the business? You're kind of at the mercy of a single niche. Not a bad thing, by the way. I mean, as long as you know, eyes wide open, the way you're building your business,
right?
Do it. So I wasn't telling her, don't do it. I'm just like, eyes wide open, know what you're doing. Like, consciously build your business, you know, the way you want based on where you see yourself in 3 years. Then the third bucket, kind of off to the side, is value-added marketing. And that's where you come to the table with something unique and something that will help solve a problem or scratch an itch, you know, create a want and deliver a want, typically over and above or outside of just the loan transaction itself. And let's talk about this because you had a great comment before, and I'm not going to steal your thunder. You and I were having a pre-conversation. What was your comment about value-added marketing? I thought it was brilliant.
Yeah, well, and you really have hit the nail on the head, is that I see most originators, whether you're in retail or wholesale, that their version of value-added is to send out, as from a prospecting standpoint, really kind of a list of features that their products or technology have. And yes. I just find that, and I have obviously trained on this topic just like you have, and I train against it, and yet this is what they do, which to me circles back to not understanding what is value added. So I think it would be great for our listeners to really kind of, you know, let's discuss what is value added and what that means. And certainly from my viewpoint is that sending out some pre-made marketing thing that lists all your features, and it really is ridiculous. But let's talk about value added, because I think there's a lot of misunderstanding about it.
I think there is. And when I'm coaching my team or past clients on this, I like to start off with what it's not.
Mm-hmm.
So let's put a floor in it.
Sure.
Value added marketing is not the everyday things that we should be doing just to run a responsible business. So closing on time. I'll see people pitch, hey, we close on time.
Right.
Or pitch, you know, online applications, or pitch, like, there's all these things. And there's a couple of flaws with it. First off, you know, I would never, and people, by the way, you know, let's hit pause because I know there's people already listening who are disagreeing with us. But so that we can see this in a different light and maybe recognize it, because let's compare it to another industry. That way we get out of the sore spot that we might be in and having to actually take a hard look at what we're doing.
Right.
And admit some truth. Let's say you went to a restaurant and the advertisement you got in the mail was, hey, you know, Bob's Chicken Emporium. And then I tell you that we make sure that every time, you know, every plate of chicken comes out hot. And that's why you should come eat my chicken.
Right.
And you kind of look at it and go, well, yeah, I mean, unless you were selling cold chicken in the right, store, like, of course there should be hot chicken,
right.
You know? And so if it's one of those things, it's kind of like, if you can't close on time as right. just part of your everyday proposition of this is what we do, you shouldn't be in the business probably. Like, a lot of the things that people go out there and push as a value add, they're not value adds. They're the basic ingredients that a mortgage company who wants to be in business today should have. They get us on the field. They don't win us the championship.
Right. You're exactly right. And it's another pet peeve that I have when I see originators and companies pitching that they have integrity. What is that about? You're supposed to have integrity. So
yeah. These are not reasons to do business with.
Right.
They're non-negotiables that would be disqualifiers.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Yeah, so you don't go out and sell your disqualifiers. Like, you know, that's
right.
That, yeah. You know, and that's a hard pill to swallow. I remember when I started to wake up about this. It's a little tough. And then I would argue with myself, by the way. But at the end of the day, I realized that this intuition, this growing realization that we were all kind of marketing the wrong stuff as the wrong thing. You know, and by the way, hey, I have nothing wrong with somewhere on your website or some of your sales materials saying things like your on-time close percentage and those type of things. This is research that people want to know. Just know that it's a disqualifier. Like if you can't claim those things, you're next. But if I've got two lenders in the running in competition, it's not, you know, and both of them close on time because they should be, that's not enough to win the deal.
Right.
So let me say that clearly too. You know, the stuff needs to be out there, but right. Just know that it's not closing material. We're not closing the sale with it.
Right. Can I just add one more thing that is another pet peeve for me? When you go through this exercises with originators, and besides the integrity one, which I do see a lot, is the other one is I'm experienced. Okay, well, that's great. Okay, wonderful. You know, what does that have to do? Again, I do think it's a lack of thinking of what you really are bringing to the plate. So I see them quite a bit. And I would just say, you're exactly right. It is a disqualifier. So it probably makes sense to talk about what are good ideas as far as what is value added from your viewpoint.
Yeah. So the things that work the fastest for value add. And by the way, the reason that you want to have value added marketing and selling, they fit together, by the way. They're not the same activity, but they fit together and they should share the same message. But you want value added in your marketing and selling so that you can get the faster results like you have in transactional marketing. But ideally, the ideal value added item would also start to create loyalty and micro debts, feelings of reciprocation back to you.
Right.
So that way, you know, and value added marketing, it can move you very quickly like transactional marketing can. And then it's a really great segue into the relationship marketing. It actually helps set you up so that as you do your relationship marketing activities after the value add win, that you build the relationship actually faster. So you've got to get in the heads of your client and you've got to figure out what they need. You know, what are the problems in their business? What are the challenges in their business? What frustrates them about the business? Do they feel, you know, what's their outlook on the business? And you get to know them at that level. And then you start doing things that improves their outlook, that improves their business performance, that improves the amount of deals that they're closing each and every month. Now, there are two types of value-added buckets. So there's two sub-tranches that I like to point out to people in value-add too. So I could go in and like here in Austin, we've got a group that's very well known for signing MSA deals with local real estate companies. So their value-add is, you know, I'll pay you a couple grand for the right to come in and, you know, they dress it up nicer than what I'm saying, but, you know, I'm going to cut you a check in return for these quote unquote services. We all know what an MSA is. And then broker wins and boom, value is created. That type of value is really like a hybrid between value and transactional. Mm-hmm. And so you have to be very careful of it because now it's just lead sharing, you know, lead cost sharing, MSAs, office rents, all that type of stuff. You're only hanging out there until you're outbid. And just because you're guaranteed access doesn't mean you're also going to eventually move it to the relationship phase.
Right.
So, you know, is it value add? Yes. But is it like prime? You know, there's a lot of fat in that meat if you're going to go that way. And there's a lot of danger in it. So you just have to be careful. Value add ideally is something that is a little bit harder for your competition to reciprocate and is a little bit more unique to you. The other area of value add to be really careful of it. Now, this area is okay if you have nothing better, but there's a lot of vendors who make a full-time living selling us mortgage bankers value-added solutions. That's awesome because it's turnkey. You know, so I can go out there and hey, for $75 a month, I can have a website that creates other little mini websites for real estate agents, you know, single sites for their properties. For, you know, $50 a month, I can have a great program that spits out beautiful looking open house flyers for them. I've seen a subscription service where you can get a hold of, and actually I've even seen it in a coaching program that's offered where they'll hold weekly webinars for your real estate agents to attend. And then you promote them as your value add. Hey, again, better than nothing. So if short term, if that's what you need to do to get in the game, do it. But also just know that with anything that I can buy off the shelf, the uniqueness isn't there. So the minute I have, like in this coaching program that is offering those type of webinars, you know, the minute you have, you know, 6 or 7 loan officers in the area promoting the same value add, kind of with the same email text copy going out, and that agent is invited to the same thing from those 6 or 7 different loan officers over and over again, because they're also told to go find the top 100 agents and market to them. So then all of a sudden it doesn't occur like a value add anymore, because it looks like everyone else's. You know, the open house flyer that we all rent the software to make, you know, I could take my picture off of it, I could put my name off of it, and I could put somebody else's on, and you wouldn't know the difference between the flyer.
Right.
So again, better than nothing. If it helps you get in the game in the next 3 days to think value added and start going out there with value added items, perfect. Having some of these in your arsenal as an also have, important, good use. So I'm not against them, but ideally inside the value added conversation, what can you do? So like, I know a loan officer who just loves video, and video is hot right now. So they go out and they help the agents doing a bunch of video shots, and they do it in a very unique way. I'm not going to share all the details because I don't want to kind of ruin what they're doing, but they do it in a very unique way that they have figured out. It's a signature item. Realtors eat it up. Nobody else is following. So they're light years ahead. So ideally, that's the golden ring that you're aiming for, you know, sometime down the road as you start playing with this type of marketing.
Well, I also think in the things that I also don't see enough out of with the originators, whether it's retail, wholesale, it still applies, that value added really does come down to a couple things. Introducing people that can increase the business of whoever it is, a broker or a realtor. And likewise, you know, obviously the lead generation side of it, which you've already really talked about. Let's assume it's not an MSA, and really this is lead generation because you're active in your marketplace. And so again, the point I think that you're making, which is a great point, is that this has to be unique. And certainly the way that you want to get attention are these things that I see most originators really don't go through. They look at it still from what you've already pointed out to a transactional component, where they are just providing a service to close a loan, when I think today that's really not enough. It's too much one-off, where you need to have it, where you have a recurring flow of business. And a greater way, a faster way to improve a relationship is where you are helping that person go to the next level. And if that's introductions, or if that's leads, or whatever it is, that puts you in a much more powerful position. Bobby, any other thoughts on that while we're getting near the end today?
Yeah, you know, I'd like to talk about the connection. I'd like to close it with the connection between transactional marketing and relationship marketing and sales, and value-added marketing and sales, and relationship marketing and sales, because I just, again, to be super clear, I'm not saying don't do them. Just know that when you're doing transactional marketing and selling, that you've got to find, like with my guys, I coach them to find the transition point.
Right.
And I'll give you a couple examples to make this, you know, drive it home. But how am I going to take the transactional piece and then drive it into a relationship? How do I find a fun value-added item and then drive it into relationship-based marketing? So it's kind of, you know, you've got the bait on the hook, which is the transactional or the value-added piece, and then you've got the process of reeling it in and turning it into something more long-term. And I'll close with two examples. Let's say you're going to do some transactional-based marketing because you do have something unique in your product's mix right now, and it is super unique. Well, don't just go out handing out a bunch of flyers about it and just, you know, talking about it. Take it and use it as an excuse to get face-to-face, belly-to-belly with a handful of agents in an intimate setting and do a nice lunch and learn, and then use it as a reason to bring them in and help create a relationship. Or on the value-added side, I've worked with a lady loan officer who, in conversations with her real estate agents, safety for the women at their open houses and feeling safe kept coming up with her over and over again. So she partnered up with the local police department to give the ladies, I don't know if it's every couple months, once a quarter, but regularly self-defense classes. Totally unique value. Like,
sure.
You know, identified a need or a want, checked it out. Are you interested? Filled the first class and then spends a couple hours with them learning self-defense. And then afterwards, you know, have a coffee and do some things like this so that, okay, the value-added marketing item is talking about the class. You get them there, you spend quality time with them. That's the bridge to relationship marketing.
Right.
And then you move it in. But don't go wide with this. You know, there's another loan officer I know who's doing a lot of classes with a local trainer, and they're putting, you know, 50 to 100 people in these classes regularly. And they've done many of them. Hundreds of agents have gone through it. Great for the trainer, but the loan officer, the conversion rate is terrible with those real estate agents because he's not going deep. He's not finding the transition to create the relationship. So he's out there going, well, I'm trying value-based marketing and it's not working for me. It's because he didn't find the bridge. He didn't find the link to spend the time with them and to develop the relationship. So if you do that, you know, understand transaction and value, great, great lead-ins, but build your marketing funnel so that you've got that conversion area, that transfer area, and you'll hit home runs.
So let's wrap it up with, I guess, a couple key points of this important topic that we've talked about. Would you like to go first and make some suggestions?
Yeah, you bet. When you go to these coaching programs, training programs, don't rely on one magic bullet in your sales and marketing. Use all of them, but then understand that all of them have to be used to transition to the ultimate goal, which is the relationship marketing. That way you use things that will counteract the negative part of relationship marketing, which is the time it takes, augment that with these other strategies. And if you do it, you'll walk away from the first coffee with prequels. I see it happen all the time when you get really good at putting together a value-added package, and you'll walk away with a commitment to do business because they see right up front that there's something they can get from you they can't get anywhere else. But then even in the event that they hand you a prequel, know that you've got to be actively looking at how do I now create and deepen a relationship with them using what I've just started.
Right. And I guess
did that make sense?
Yes. I mean, it did. It was actually excellent. And I would like to just share the last two thoughts. And I think the big issue is recognizing that your marketing plan has a short-term component to it and a long-term component, and that you're always mixing and matching of where you are from a level of what is your production looking like and so forth. So this is really an incredibly hard issue, I think, for many originators, but certainly something worthwhile mastering. So I want to thank everybody for joining us today and certainly listen to our next podcast.
Thanks for listening. If you have a topic to suggest, please tell your National MI account manager, and you may soon see it as part of our sales podcast series.